Good morning once again, and welcome to Bethel United Methodist Church. It's so good to see each and every one of you in God's house today as we celebrate Bethel's 181st birthday. It's an honor to preach this homecoming service, to bring you the message that God has laid on my heart. And it's a time when you can look back at all the fellowship that has happened in this very church. We can recall all of the happy times. We can recall some of the sad times. We can recall all of the people that have passed through the doors of Bethel United Methodist Church. And many of the people that have passed through these doors have now passed through the doors into the kingdom of heaven. Bethel is not just a building, four walls and windows, but it's a place of refuge, it's a place of fellowship, and it's a place to find Jesus Christ in a very personal, meaningful way. You're all gathered here today to remember the old times and to see a lot of people that you've not seen in, well, maybe since last homecoming or three or four homecomings ago. But it's a time to celebrate. But most importantly, it's a time that we can come together and celebrate being in the presence of our Almighty Father. It's time for all of us, as we renew old acquaintances, it's time for us to renew that fire of the Holy Spirit that is in our life when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's a time to re-energize or recharge our spiritual batteries. You know, a battery doesn't work unless you recharge it, or sometimes it has to be tossed out and a whole new thing put in there. It's the same way with us as Christians. Sometimes things just don't work. We come to the point that we have to say, Lord, my battery died. I need a new battery. I don't just need to be recharged. I need to be refilled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that I can be what you would have me to be. My scripture today is coming from two different passages. One is in Psalms 95, verses 1 through 7. Psalms 95, verses 1 through 7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. And let us make a noise, joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountain are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. The dry land which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people of his pasture and the sheep of his herd. The second passage I want to read is in Luke, I think. Luke 15. Luke, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 11. Luke 15, verse 11. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my share of the property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, and he traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in destitute living. And when he had spent everything, and a severe famine took place throughout the country. and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. And he would have gladly filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" And so he set off and he went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to the slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us celebrate and eat. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to start out by talking briefly about the psalmist, David, as he is writing this 95th psalm. He shows us in this passage how to worship and how to be obedient. The psalmist directs our attention away from our everyday, dull, boring life, and he points us to the glories of our Heavenly Father, to the Creator of heaven and earth. Today is a day of celebration. Today we celebrate the fact that God has brought us together to worship and to follow Him and to have fellowship in His house. But I want to draw your attention right now to a different celebration for a few minutes. We're all familiar with the story of the prodigal son. A man had two sons. And the younger of these sons was just like many of our young people today. He was grown. "I'm grown. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me how I should live my life. I'll do as I please." If you have not said it, I bet you your children or your grandchildren said it. "I'm grown. You can't tell me what to do." Yesterday, Christian told Daniel something. Daniel looked at him and he says, "Boy, I'm an old man. You don't tell me what to say and what to do." But as parents, we still have a tendency to want to tell our grown children what to say and what to do and what not to say and what not to do. But God had set the example for us. He has given us this prodigal son story, that we're just like this. We want to do our own thing in our own time. And not once do we, when we're young, think about the consequences. But every action, everything that we do and say, whether it be good or whether it be bad, it has consequences. We reap what we sow. If we say things that hurt our neighbor's feelings, "Well, I'm just so sorry, you're just going to have to get over it." That's the attitude that people have. But Jesus tells us to be mindful of what we say and what we do. He even said that if you offend one of the least of these children, you've offended me. So we have to bear in mind our response to people. This boy took everything he had. And he went out, and like my mama used to say, don't spend all your money in one place. This younger boy, he took all that he had, and he went into a foreign country. To me, it would probably be like I could visualize him leaving Tallahassee and going to Jacksonville or going to Atlanta. But he left and he went and he threw away everything that he had. And he realized that, boy, have I messed up. The people that work for my daddy does better than I'm doing. So he turns around and he goes back home. That's what we've done today. We've come back to Bethel. We're back home. This boy, as he's walking down the road toward his father's house, barefooted, ragged, dirty, hungry, and his daddy, just like any parent, just like our Heavenly Father, is always watching, waiting to get just that one glimpse. And the father sees him coming down the road, and he knows before he ever gets close to him, I guess he could tell by the way he walked. You don't ever know. But he sees that son and he looks out and he says, there's my boy. There's my son. And he runs out to meet him. That's what God's doing today. He says, there's my child. There's my son. There's my daughter right down there at Bethel. I'm going to run down there and I'm going to bless them. They're mine. They're coming home. Isn't that a glorious thought? That God is standing there watching us, saying to himself, that's my child. That's my boy. That's my daughter. And he's standing there. But then God says, they're coming to me. And so God stands there with outstretched arms, just waiting for that child to come in to the fold. We're in that fold today. We're in the arms of God. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, made Him Lord of your life, there's no better time than right now, right here at Bethel United Methodist Church, to turn your life totally around and become that person that God wants you to be. That father says, okay, let's get out the robe, get the best robe, get the best shoes. I bet he had naturalizers. He got out there and he got everything that that son would ever need. He says, he would get a ring to go on his finger. And the father runs out and he hugs him and he kisses him and he says, welcome home. There's another boy, that older brother, that's standing back there saying to himself, I wish you'd look at that. Look at that moron. Went out there and spent everything he had on things of the world. And I have stayed here with Daddy all this time and just worked myself into a tizzy trying to please Daddy, trying to be obedient. And yet he kills the fatty calf. He does all of this stuff for that runt brother of mine. It just is not fair to go out and get this dirty, let this dirty, grimy brother come back in here and just act like he never left. He's a perfect child. But the father did not turn him away. You know, that's just like God. God does not turn us away. He does not say, oh, look at the sins that you've committed. Look at all the things that you've done. How you've just robbed from people. You've lied to people. You've done all of these things that you should not have done. God doesn't say that. He says, come here, son. Come here, daughter. Come back into the fold and let me wash your sins away. That's the kind of Heavenly Father that we serve today. All of us have things in our lives that we wish that we could go back and redo. We could go back and undo. We said things that we should not have said. We pray that prayer, Lord, forgive me for all the things that I did that I should not have done and all the things that I've done that I shouldn't have. You know how it goes. But God is wanting us to pour our hearts out to Him today and invite that Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives so that we can receive forgiveness for our sins. Most of you have heard me preach for the last almost 16 months that just as sure as there is a heaven and our Heavenly Father sits on the throne, just as sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And the only way that you can do that today is through the blood of Jesus Christ, having it applied to your heart and your life. In closing, there are two things that I want to make mention of. There's a danger of being like the prodigal son. In all of the celebration, you might, when you come home, you might forget about the journey that you went on. You might forget about that country back there that was full of sin, all of the sins of your past. And you may start turning your nose down at the people next to you that may have not accepted Christ yet. They may not have come home yet. And you turn your nose down at them. And you shun that person because of where they live, the way they dress, how they comb their hair. They're not like me. So I'm not having anything to do with them. You know, if God did that, we would all be in one more big mess. If He turned His nose up every time one of us sinned or fell short of the glory of God, we'd be in a fix. But He doesn't. He's like that father. He's standing there with arms outstretched saying, come home. Come home at supper time. It's time for us to come together and worship. There's also a danger of being like the older son. Whenever some of these younger people accept Christ as their personal Savior, we say, well, they're getting all of the attention. They're getting everything that is rightfully mine because I've been here at Bethel. I've been in this church all my life. I grew up here. And I'm not having nothing to do with that. But that's not what God's saying. God's saying it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done. My grace is sufficient. My love for you will cover all that multitude of sins. All He's asking is that we come home. We can all relate to each one of the three characters in the story of the prodigal son. We have all been like the prodigal son. None of us were born saved. We had to accept Christ as our personal Savior. We had to ask for forgiveness of our sins. We've all been like the older brother at one time or another. We have been judgmental. And we have all been like the father. We have prayed for our children and our grandchildren and our neighbors. And whenever they come to Christ, we're happy for them and we want to celebrate. And just as sure as we celebrate when one of our children gets saved or one of our children has a birthday or we have a homecoming, just as sure as we celebrate, the angels in heaven rejoice over one child that repents of their sin. You are His children today. We are created in the image of God and we are made to worship God and to fellowship with God. Today's homecoming. We have a busy day planned. But there's no better time than today for us to lay aside everything that would come between us and that homecoming that we're going to have one day. We will all one day stand before our Heavenly Father. And will He say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or will He say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity? I don't know yet. So if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life today, there's no better time than this homecoming day for us to make this a true day of celebration. We can remember our past, our present, and we can look forward to a future and a heavenly home. We can have no future apart from the love of our Heavenly Father. We can save money, we can build houses, we can do all of these things. But we have no future apart from our Heavenly Father. As always, the altar here at Bethel is open. If you want to accept Christ for the first time, or if you want to rededicate your life to God, as the praise team leads us in the closing hymn, you've already come to Bethel. You've come home to Bethel. Won't you come home to Jesus?